Good afternoon. Welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
I thought you forgot. I'm Bill Kunda.
I was just waiting for the volume to go down just a teeny bit. Or maybe my headphones are just really loud.
Could be.
We came running in at the last minute.
But we are on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to tell ourselves.
Hey, what do you want? Do you want to talk about our sponsors?
Do it.
Yeah. Our sponsors this hour are Team Power, local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. And at Team Power, you can get a great deal right now on a John Deere or Kubota tractor. And they are at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake, just south of Phil's Prop Shop. And you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com and or call them 226-9226 and talk to them about new tractors, service, parts. They do it all.
There you have it. Because we support agriculture.
That's right.
Even if it's only your yard.
That's right.
We like yard agriculture.
Turn on the water.
Big agriculture, little agriculture. Better than having to turn your yard into a rock garden.
Yeah, that's kind of a popular thing nowadays.
I was just talking to the neighbors about that. They bought a house and somebody had already turned it into a rock garden.
Yeah.
But when they first saw the house, it had grass.
That's given up.
I know.
You know? Uh-huh.
I know. That's just succumbing
Don't
to
do
the
it.
Whole thing.
Don't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, then you
Stay
find out
green.
They gave away 50% of the state's water to fish. And
yeah.
Statewide, we saved, what, 1.5%? Wow. By turning all our yards into rock gardens. Stupid.
Yeah.
More California logic there. So our guest, Dr. Harry Booyens, is he with us?
Hello.
Hey, who got you on there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So there are very few people who probably don't know what we're doing. If you're not on my email list, actually, I should bring that up. If you're not on the update list for the program, you should go to wethepeopleradio.us and put your email in there. I only send out, if I send out, one thing a week. That's it. And so just, you know, links to the show, guests that you might like. And since this program, we started last week on South Africa. We did an hour last week. And so that's on there for you, commercial-free, on the web. May 27th, and then today we're going to do 2 hours because this is really like a what do you say 50-hour show. Somehow we're going to cram
not
it,
long enough.
We're going to cram it into three. So briefly about our guest, Harry Booyens is an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning, say that fast, PhD defense and aerospace. Space physicist. Oh, I was doing so good, too. Originally from South Africa, with a 360-year bloodline in that country, he lives with his family in the on the forested slopes outside Vancouver, Canada, at the moment. His life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment. He applies his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy and writes with factual accuracy and engaging styles on these subjects. Hard Evidence is a trademark of his work, and it's won him a number of awards. He focuses on making Americans aware of what's happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general, and the United States of America in particular.
Well said.
And if you weren't listening last week, I guarantee you, you know very little about this subject, if you've been getting your news from the news. So.
Well, last week we talked about kind of the history of South Africa and
the history none of us know.
The history, yeah, that I think has been kind of whitewashed and lied about for decades. And talked a little bit about Dr. Harry's history. And now we're going to go into what's really going on in South Africa right now. In the history of it.
So where would you like to start?
Well, if I may, I would like to just repeat one little sentence.
Please do.
From last time, and that's that in terms of the two countries, both were in essence started by the Dutch, Cape Town in the South African case, and New Amsterdam or New York, if you wish, in the American case. Both were sold to the British by the Dutch. Both were eventually subject to the British. Both fought two wars against the British. But the prime difference is that while both of us won the first war against them, you won your second and we lost our second. And therein lies much of the difference. So the parallels are incredible, but there are some wholly inappropriate parallels that have also been drawn and that lead to tremendous trouble in South Africa at this time. And it lies at the root of why you're not hearing stuff in the news. And so it bears repeating that Dutch folks arrived in South Africa in 1652, so they've been there an awfully long time. My own ancestors go back to that period. And then, very significantly, no South African black people were ever enslaved by any white men from anywhere across the planet. And ironically, it is the white South Africans who have slave ancestors, not the black ones. And that's it. In a nutshell, that's what I want to say about what we discussed last time.
And there were no black Africans in that region when the Dutch moved in. Is that correct?
In a simple sentence, the nearest indigenous black people in South Africa when the Dutch landed was 700 miles away. So again, in terms of measuring from where you guys are in Reading, that would be like around Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. not exactly a displacement.
Okay. If there's anything else from last time that you feel bears sketching as backdrop, this would be the time to tell me. But that's about it. And those basics appear not to be known by people outside the country. And the result of that is that the folks are forever thinking that white people went to South Africa to enslave black people. The only black South Africans who were ever enslaved are the ones who were enslaved by Nelson Mandela's Amakosa people. And they were, ironically, freed by my ancestors.
Okay, that is kind of ironic.
Yeah, because that's definitely not what I think the general population in this country has been taught. That
no, because this is being...
I mean, if you're from Africa, you're black.
Right, and this is being painted as a reclaiming of land that was stolen from them.
Yeah, and so you did ask me last time, maybe I should just mention this a little bit again, and that is there were people at the Cape, but they were not black people. They were then called the Hottentot. And that name is considered derogatory these days, but it's the only name that some people know. These days, they are more correctly referred to as the Khoi people. And their descendants and the descendants of some of the slaves brought to the Cape by the Dutch, typically Indian, they form the basis of what is today called colored in South Africa, which it does not mean at all what it means in the United States. So, again, you know, these words that have
different
meanings in the two countries, that causes terrible trouble.
Tell people again what colored means there.
Well,
I forget.
There are four acknowledged racial groupings in South Africa. There are the black people, who have always been the majority in the east of the country. There are the Indian people who historically lived in the province of Natal, which is in the east of the country. They were brought there in the 1800s by the British as laborers in sugarcane plantations. They were indentured. They were not slaves. Then there are the white people who landed in 1653. And then there are what is basically left of these Khoi people that I mentioned, and folks who were manumitted at the Cape, in other words, freed slaves that had been imported by the Dutch, and all of these folks, plus people who were of mixed descent between various nations, were then agglomerated into a grouping that was called colored in South Africa. And if you want me to go on about the injustices of apartheid, I would tell you that it was mostly the so-called colored people that suffered from that, not the black people, despite all the drama made around it. And so that's the racial grouping in the country. If you look at voting statistics today, because they still keep it by race, then the answer is that the western half of the country is dominated by voters of mixed descent, mostly white and other, and then the east of the country is dominated by black people. And that's it. And there's a line that runs there, which I am going to explain a little bit later, and it has to do with designs beyond the hand of man.
Okay. Well, let's take a really quick break at this point, and what we're going to do is contact you on Skype. We didn't get here in time to do that at the beginning, so we'll try to do that during the break, and hopefully then we'll have better connect with you. You are listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Our guest today is Harry Booyans, and you're going to like it. Interesting information. We'll be right back. I'm going to do a little commercial here, I guess, since if you're listening to us on June the 3rd, 2018, I wanted to promote the Red Pill Expo that's coming up in Spokane. And odds are you might not have heard of this before, but the Red Pill Expo, I should have clicked on my list of speakers, although we were speaking to one of the speakers. It's in 17 days. It's June 21st through 23rd in Spokane, Washington. And conference speakers include G. Edward Griffin, Robert Kiyosaki, Lord Christopher Monckton, Tom DeWeese, Representative Matt Shea, Larry Pratt, Major General Paul Commercial. A little commercial popped up in front of his face. Trevor Loudon, Patrick Wood, all sorts of people. Dr. Duke Pesta, if you're interested in issues with vaccines. Dan Happel and Jesse Lee Peterson. Lots of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an action-packed few days. So you can find all that information at redpillexpo.org, and I will link that to the site for today. I have not done that yet, but I will in a moment. And that's June 21st through 23rd. And Dr. Harry Booyans is also a speaker there. So
back to our guest that we did not connect with through Skype because, I don't know, because we didn't have the skills to make that happen.
On my side, it says messaging unavailable.
Nice.
Don't know what to say about that.
Had to go through customs. You got balled up in customs.
There you go. Border problem.
Yeah.
It may be that the trouble is with me being here in the boondocks of Vancouver, Canada.
Well, you know, Reading isn't exactly a major metropolitan area.
Hey. Biggest city south of Portland, I think.
North of Sacramento.
Yeah.
In that wasteland.
Yeah.
With a lot of territory to cover. Well, we're going to do most of the listening, so you just go ahead with your story and we'll listen. We can hear you just fine.
Okay. I think we should now get to why the farm situation in South Africa has reached a crisis. In your introduction, you said that you have a focus on agriculture. Well, maybe we could shift that focus just a little bit to the other side of the planet, to the southern tip of South Africa. And what's happening there is that the present government, which I will describe a little bit later, the present government has approved in Parliament, where it has a very domineering majority, it has approved that the constitution be changed, which it can because of the number of votes it has, that the constitution be changed so as to make it legal for the government to simply take the land of white farmers without any compensation. Now, one can say, well, you've got eminent domain in the United States, but I don't believe it says without compensation. The problem in South Africa is that one cannot view that decision in isolation. And the reason for that is that the present government, which is dominated by the late Nelson Mandela's African National Congress Party, which was sponsored by the Soviets originally, that party pretty much controls everything. And they have been running something that really should be called what it is, and that is a low-level undeclared war against South African farmers. I have a declassified report by the CIA delivered to George Bush Sr. in the late 1980s. I believe it was around 86. I should check the date again. And it's available to anybody on the internet. I can provide you the link for that, where they make it quite clear to him in one of their reports, which is heavily redacted, as you might imagine. And in that report, it says that the ANC has declared farmers a legitimate target for military operations. So this thing comes a long, long way. So, you know, we're talking 30 years of history of this subject.
Now, are these primarily white farmers?
These are primarily white farmers, but as you'll hear, the black farm workers are suffering just as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the mythology of the ANC, the ruling party, in their party mythology, white people are these evil invaders who came and took southern Africa from them. And you've already heard that that's a lie. It's a simple, flat lie. And I will go into the science, if you wish, of that, because there are reasons why that is a lie, and the reasons were dictated by heaven, not by man, and I will explain that. So the ANC has, for years, drummed up support for its agenda by inciting ordinary black people against white people. That's what they do. That's their basis for existence. And the trouble is, they've ruined the economy. They've ruined the international standing of the country. They've turned it into an international laughingstock. You may remember the event where deaf interpreter...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sign language guy.
This is typical of the ANC. I mean, what they do is just unforgivable. Anyway, so they've turned South Africa into a laughing stock. They've turned it into a classic African economic basket case. They're busy destroying its ability to feed itself. And the only thing they can resort to is, it's sort of the African parallel of what's happening in liberal circles in the United States. They've run out of ideas, so they just yell against President Trump, and they haven't got anything else to talk about, to offer. And in South Africa, the ANC has nothing else to offer because it has, quite frankly, in regular English, screwed up everything it's touched. They've created a situation where black people cannot find jobs. Nobody can find jobs. It's a morass. And so they get votes by appealing to brazen racism. They keep telling the ordinary, uneducated black voter out there in the African bush that these nasty white people came over the seas to come and steal your country. Okay? And they drum this drum, and as a result of this, white farmers are being attacked on their farms and tortured to death. Yeah. Now, before I explain anything further, I realize this is a radio show and not television and not YouTube. So the next best thing I can do is ask the two of you whether you have the link I gave you to Google Images, whether that's available and whether you have a computer of some sorts in front of you.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
We also have your blog on the site for folks to go on and read and view some of the images you've posted there.
Then may I suggest that on behalf of your viewers, first of all, to inform them, and secondly, to spare them the image that you are going to see, because I don't think people really want to see this. But I don't think I honestly can talk to you the right way about this subject unless you simply put the word farm attacks, the two words. Don't even put quotes on it. You don't have to say South Africa. Just put the words farm attacks, two words, plural, farm attacks.
Okay.
Put that into that Google Images website. And just look. And I think, frankly, in the interest of justice, I ought to shut up until you say something.
I'm a slow typer. Oh, okay, there we go. Yep, comes right up. Very first link that pops up is South African farms.
Yeah. You notice I never asked you to put the word South Africa in there?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I fully appreciate that after 60 years of having your heads messed with by the U.S. media, and particularly the British media, who hate us with a passion, they always have, I thought I should find a more even-handed international arbiter. There is no way that I can mess with Google to plant those pictures. How would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. So this is the best attempt I have as a guy from Africa who has family on those farms. This is the best way I know of appealing to something that is as independent as possible to give you an idea of what it is I'm actually talking about. This is what it looks like when the inevitable happens. I'm going to leave it to you to describe to your viewers for a minute what it is you're seeing.
Well, I've got a variety of choices here. I had pulled up an article. I don't think I'm seeing...
No. I think you've gone to Google. You have not gone to Google Images. You need to put in the words Google Images.
Oh, sorry.
Google.
Oh.
That link I sent you was
pertinently... Yeah. No, it's pretty heinous.
Yeah, because I was looking at that earlier, and I just didn't search it right. My computer's running like a snail. Helpful. People just... I mean, literally bludgeoned. I think that's the, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but I don't know how else to put it.
Oh, it looks like, typical injuries that people would sustain in a full-on war. I mean, pretty heinous injuries to men, women, and children. And it's not just white people. It looks like there's black workers that are being killed, maimed as well.
Yes.
It's pretty bad.
And the animals, I've seen pictures of the animals as well. I don't see that here, but I mean, with their legs cut off, they're still alive, but they've cut like the legs off of sheep. So they have to run around on little nubs.
I think we've reached a point in South Africa where the animals don't make it into reports anymore.
Really?
In fact, it's difficult for these attacks on the farmers themselves to get into any newspaper, even in South Africa, anymore. It's just accepted that you die, and you die badly.
Yeah, because I had posted an article last week that came out of the Daily Mail, I believe. But if you look at any of the regular press and you search for articles about this, you really don't get anything. You know, it's just...
Okay. So to give you some feel for what people, how the media in general is reacting, talking now about the formal media, and to some degree Facebook is starting to become formal media. I had a situation where some lady in Britain said, oh, it's all a lie. None of this is really happening. These people are lying. You know,
right, and
so
here's a guy with like half
like
of his face missing.
Denier, you know, except that they're standing next to the gas chamber, basically jeering at the Jews as they're walking into the chambers. That's how we experience it. So I elected to put a little article on Facebook to say, well, if the lady is denying that this is happening, why doesn't she go and live on a South African farm for a month? I will have you know that Facebook contacted me and accused me of bullying and removed my post.
Really?
Yeah, this one post here is to date, 2018, 109 attacks on farms in South Africa. I mean, that's a lot.
To date in 2018.
2018, yeah, alone.
Yeah.
109.
And I'm going to post a link directly to this so that it's not tricky for people to find, but honestly, there are very few things that you can look up where suddenly there's somebody without half of their head. I mean, half of their face. They're cutting a rope off from around a guy's neck. And these are mostly older people.
Exactly, because the farmers tend not to be 20 years old.
Right. This isn't the age of people that you see in war, you know, young fighting men. These are older women and older men and just, I mean, gruesome. I don't know any other way to say it.
If there is a belief, even if there is a belief that white people stole land from black people,
yeah, they don't need to be murdered in their homes.
In some places did happen, okay? But suppose we say that that was some huge generalized thing and that evil white people came and did this.
Right.
In what culture on earth is it acceptable to go after the mothers and fathers of those people, drill holes with power drills in their feet, put their feet in boiling water so that they cannot go and find help? Where does it say that you take their wives, strip them naked, cover them in cooking oil, and then assault them with hot clothes irons? This is, it's like it's a competition for what is the worst possible way of torturing a person to death. That appears to be the live competition in South Africa today.
Yeah, because in the photo imagery, these aren't things that are happening on a battlefield. These are pictures of people in their homes. These things all happened in their homes. And you can tell just by the blood loss that this wasn't somebody just ran through the door and attacked them or whatever. This is long-term torture that's taking place, and because these people are farmers. On that evil note, we need to take a really quick break here. But, if you do a search on your system for Google Images, and then once you get to the Google Images search bar, put in farm attacks, you'll see what I'm looking at. I'm also going to add it on the webpage. So if you're following us online, if you just refresh your page, that link will be there for you. And you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back. I just have to confess, I picked the song Hell's Bells on the outgoing and Spirit in the Sky on the incoming break there, long before I knew what we would be talking about. But
premonition.
I guess if we were going to pick something that went along with these images, that I guess both of those hit home.
Harry, this, basically genocide is going on, is being perpetrated by mainly the ANC, the political party that took over after apartheid. Is that correct?
Well, taking those statements from aside, the ANC won a political victory in the big 1994 election, and they have been ruling the country ever since then. First under Nelson Mandela, then under Thabo Mbeki. And then there was an interim guy who was just a little cipher, a placeholder. And then by Jacob Zuma, who was a classic African village chief kind of guy, And now recently, at the beginning of this year, in February, Cyril Ramaphosa took over as president. But it's all the ANC. Now let me be clear on one thing. I am not accusing the ANC itself of going around farms killing people. But that government has refused to report the statistics on these farm murders. Their argument is a white life is not more valuable than a black life. Therefore, we are not going to list farm murders as a separate category. So that would be more or less the same as saying we're not going to address attacks on farmers in Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas, because we'd rather just lump that together with gun deaths in Chicago.
Right.
That way,
right,
you don't see the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's total fake news at its best right there.
So that's the way they handle it. So they've been pretending this is not happening. They've been openly denying that it's happening. Then they decided, well, they have to say something. So they suggested this argument about a white life is not more valuable than a black life. Therefore, we are not going to make a separate category after about lonesome farmers exposed out there. But they themselves expose the farmers. You see, there used to be something like a National Guard that could be called out amongst the farmers to protect themselves. And the government shut that down in 2006, 2007, promising there'd be a special unit to protect the farmers. There is no special unit, and the government issue weapons that were given to those farmers to protect themselves were withdrawn, and these guys were left to their devices. Now, the government who says that these attacks aren't happening is the government who has given those guys no protection. I would suggest to you that 2 and 2 in this particular case does not quite make 4. It makes a rather a bigger number than that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's,
And that's what they do. That's how they work. They reckon that nobody is intelligent enough to put the right hand to lever together with the right hand with the left hand to see what's being done by the two together. So there is no way that the ANC government can absolve itself here. Now, it turns out they have now said in the last month, okay, they will report those numbers again. The only question now is what particular obfuscation are they going to try now? Because the whole deal here is to get the white farmers off their land. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as the farmers are there, it looks as though white people, quote, have stolen the land, unquote. You with me? It's a pictorial situation. It is easy to convince their voters that the evil white man is indeed evil because, see, he's still on that farm. That's what's going on here.
Well, another way it looks like they're twisting the numbers is, I'm looking at an article here from the Huffington Post. It says farm murders at all-time low the past 2 years. It's declined, but what they don't say is there was 109 this year alone. So it makes me wonder, what was the number prior to that?
To the all-time low
of 109? Was it 1,000, and now it's only 109, so everything's okay? Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, let me ask you this. You are two intelligent, thinking human beings. You're really going to believe something the Huffington Post tells you?
No.
That's the first problem.
1,000 miles away? Really?
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a fair amount of people out there that's their daily dose of real news, and it's sad, but I think you do have to do your own homework to see what's going on here.
And people can't, it's not like they can just sell the farm and move, because who's going to buy it?
Well, and it was a family farm. They've been there for 300
years.
Right,
but even if they wanted to escape with their lives, who are they going to sell it to?
Right.
So, but now I want to get to the next point on this curve, because you see, the government says that the biggest single issue in South Africa is the disproportionate ownership of land by white farmers. That's what they say is the overriding factor in South Africa, that all is predicated on that, that black people are poor because the white farmers own the land. And if only but the black people owned the land, they would overnight be okay. That's the picture that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, you can see how that can work with a group of totally uneducated people who have no clue where money comes from. So, I would like to, if you'll indulge me, I would actually like to go into the numbers of that government itself. Because the one thing you can always count on is that folks on the far left and in the communist world cannot actually do math. If they could, they would never have had the mess they had, and there might still be a Soviet Union.
Right.
The failure of math. Let's take a really quick break and come back so that we get it all in one fell swoop and don't have to interrupt you. Our guest today is Dr. Harry Bouyans. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. There was somewhere over the rainbow for these guys. Okay. Back to the math.
Okay. So what I would like to do is I've now already appealed to basically Google Images as an independent arbiter of information. And I hope that passes the smell test over there. Now, the next thing, I'm a physicist, okay? In 1957, my mother hoisted me on her arm and pointed out to me a star that was moving up in the heavens. And I was not quite 4 years old, but that was the day I decided that I wanted to be a scientist, because she told me that it's scientists who put that thing up there. And I thought this moving star was really cool. It was called Sputnik. So I learned somewhere along the way that maths is important. And the whole idea is that maths works the same way everywhere. That is the principle of science, that it should work the same way everywhere, and you test it in different places. Now, I would like to appeal to your mathematics. Today, if I take the report that the government uses, the South African government, the ANC government, that it has a report that it uses to justify the taking of the farmer's land without remuneration. And it spreads this word about the white farmers own 72% of the land. Okay, the evil whites came and took 72% of the land. Shows you just how bad they are. Let us test that. Okay? Their own report says that white farmers own 26.8 million hectares. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, please write down 26.8, because we're going to do a little bit of interesting maths here. I will round those off to nice round numbers so the listeners can also do it. So they themselves say the white farmers own 26.8 million hectares. Now we go to the CIA World Factbook. Are you, the two of you, happy to accept that as a decent arbiter of simple mathematical fact, like how big is a country?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. The CIA Factbook says South Africa is 122 million hectares. Don't worry about the size of a hectare. 122 million hectares. The South African government says the white farmers have 26.8 million hectares. So here's what we're going to do. we're going to slant the picture in the favor of the government by saying, let's make that 122 million hectare size of South Africa, instead of calling it 122 million, just call it 120 million for a nice round number. And then the 26.8 million, how about we round that up and make it look as though the farmers have even more land than they really have? We round it up to 30 million hectares. I ask you, with tears in my eyes, how many times does 30 million go into 120 million? What is 120 divided by 30? Or 12 divided by 30?
Yeah, they're short. About four times. Yeah.
last time we checked, there's three of us here, and we've all decided it's four.
Okay. So you agree with me that if I round the numbers up in favor of the government, the farmers own only a quarter of the surface.
Correct.
Yep.
Now, that does not sound like 72 to 75%, which is what they are telling the world and the places like CNN and Huffington Post and these echo. Or the London Brigade of supposed journalists. In what world, on what planet, in what universe can you divide 30 into 120? And get three quarters.
Yeah.
Harry,
socialists, far left liberals, and communists cannot do math.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs.
But I mean, even if you left the numbers the way they were, 26.8 and 122, and you were bad at math, you would even know that's not even half.
You get to 21.8%, which is the number that other independent bodies that have done the same maths as me have also found. And they're all scratching their heads at the government.
But nobody actually looks at the 122 million. They don't know the second number, so 26 million seems a lot.
Journalism doesn't even cover dividing two numbers into each other anymore. And this is what you're being subjected to. So now, you know, feel free when we're done with this show, feel free to go and search the internet, and you'll see how many times you'll come up against white farmers own 72% of the land, 72%, 72%, sometimes 90%, whites own 90%, etc., etc., okay? So, now, why do that? It's because if they have to speak the truth, they couldn't make their case.
Right.
Okay? So I would tell you something else. And for that, I need to explain that bit where I said things that are determined in heaven and not on earth. In the United States, I think you'll agree with me that the coast of California, I mean, you're close to it, or relatively close to it, has what is known as a Mediterranean climate. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot me now, but as I recall it, it rains pretty much only in winter, and summer is bone dry and you get fires. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Fine. That is true on the west coasts of pretty much every continent. It's known as a Mediterranean climate. Opposing that, on the east coast of any continent, you will have a subtropical climate. Think Florida. Okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Now, in South Africa, you have the same, except that Africa goes to a rather sharper point in the south, so that around Cape Town and the Western Ocean, you have a Mediterranean climate, no rain in summer, all rain in winter, and on its southeast coast, you have subtropical in the province of Natal, where the Zulus lived. Okay, in between, it slowly changes from one to the other. It goes through an area that's something like the climate of Charleston in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. My own hometown where I grew up, Port Elizabeth, on the which is actually further south than Cape Town, that the closest thing in your world to that is Charleston. It's at the same latitude, same distance from the equator as Charleston. Now, when you study the climate of South Africa, you find that there is a line that runs diagonally from southeast to northwest through the country. And it's a curve, but for practical purposes, you might as well take a straight edge and just make a line across the country. Mm-hmm. To the west of that line, the rain that does fall falls in winter, and it falls, it's high close to the Cape and gets drier to everywhere else, with a little bit more falling against the mountains on the south coast. To the east of that line, you have majority summer weather in the form of thunderstorms, the classical 40,000-foot African thunderstorm with hail. Okay? Now, I'm not sure exactly what the countryside looks like around Reading, and I don't know how much exposure you have to animal husbandry, but I'm pretty sure there's a number of farmers on, you know, listening to your show, and they would be prepared to tell you that goats and sheep will eat short grass, but for cattle, you need taller grass, because that's the way a cow eats.
Right.
Okay, so cow equals long grass. You will get that kind of, you need a certain amount of summer rainfall to get that long grass.
Sure.
And that amount is somewhere 300 to 350 millimeters of rain. Think North Dakota, South Dakota. Been there, looked at it, know it.
Okay.
Okay. And spoke to the farmers, and I spoke to the ones in Saskatchewan as well, and apparently I spoke their language, because I told them, you know, I'm kind of looking at you guys, and it looks like about 300 millimeters of rain, and they said, you got it spot on. Okay, so my comment to you is, here is the simple truth about Africa. The indigenous black people of Africa, by and large, those away from the real deep tropics, in other words, Congo and places like that, their entire culture is based on cattle. And mostly they live off milk and milk derivatives. It is a rare day that they will slaughter a cow, because the cows are really their money. You're not going to slaughter your $1,000 bulls real easily. So these guys needed long grass for their cattle.
Right.
And so when they migrated from the heart of Africa all along the eastern coast, or the interior of the eastern coast, as long as they were getting long grass, they were happy. But when you get to South Africa and this bit of Nevada in the middle, which is really what it is, it looks like Nevada. Well, call it Nevada, southern New Mexico, southern Arizona. Okay, it's dry country.
Dry, yeah.
Okay, that's what South Africa looks like in the middle. It's known as the Karoo, which is a Khoi word for great dry place.
It sounds so much happier.
The great dry place sits in the middle. As soon as they started getting to the great dry place, there was no way they could keep their cattle, and their culture could not function. And that is the reason why, to this day, if you just ignore the big urban centers like Cape Town, where you can go and live without a cow, then you find that the black population of South Africa is east of that 350 millimeter rainfall line. And a simple way to see that is to put the word Afrikaans, A-F-R-I-K-A-A-N-S. I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but I'm pretty sure that's what it'll show.
All right. Hold on one second.
You'll find a map of the distribution of the Afrikaans language, which is mine.
Hold on one second, Harry.
The
I know you can't hear us. We've got to take a really quick break for the news, and
okay,
we're going to come back. Well, just shut up for 5 minutes and then
I'll
come right back.
Hear you.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People.